And if I turn my mic on, it probably helps. Okay, can you hear that? Okay, are we all right now? Okay, yeah, that's a little better. Okay, I have done several sermons for several different things. I did sermons for Father's Days and special days and all them kind of days and everything, but I never did Mother's Day. So you're getting one for the first time on Mother's Day. And so I'm kind of like the guy from a foreign country that came over here to preach, and his first language was not the English language. He didn't understand it too good. But the guy that introduced him evidently had been over in his country, and he heard him preach. So when he introduced him, he said, he's a very warm speaker. And the fellow from the foreign country was thinking in his mind, I wonder what in the world that means, a warm speaker. So he did his message, and then he went home and got his dictionary out and looked up the word warm, and it said not very hot. And so so that's kind of where you're at. It's kind of where you're at today. Not very hot. So, but anyways, we're going to do what we can today and appreciate the opportunity to speak to you on Mother's Day. I like the opportunity to come preach when I can preach. And everybody that I'm looking at and preaching to are probably saved. And I don't see anybody reaching over and hitting somebody inside the head or taking something out of his pocket or nothing like that. And so that kind of helps a little bit. Well, anyway, this older couple decided to go on vacation. Take her down there to Florida and Southeast Florida on Mother's Day. So the guy planned a vacation. And the first thing she wanted to do was go buy a new bathing suit. And he said, I don't know why she has to go buy a new bathing suit. The only thing that's wrong with the old one is it's got a hole in the knee. So, so I guess you know where he comes from. Yesterday I looked at the paper here and I saw some things that children had written in about their mother, and I wanted to bring them to you today to read them to you, starting at the third place winner first. And it said, "My awesome mom, dear mom, you are a very special mom because you love and care for me. You made me a birthday breakfast," and he puts down YA, "you struggled and you gave me money for field trips. You had bad times, but they turned around. Nobody cares how you look. It's about the inside." That was his, he wrote. The second one here, now these are just little kids, you can tell by the way they write here, it's kind of hard to read it. It says, "My mom is the greatest because she adopted me, so I am not in an orphanage now. She is also the greatest because she is loving and caring. She is kind and I love her a lot. I would not ever be able to stop loving her." And the first place winner is, "My mom is the greatest because she is 27 years old." Now this, I don't know which side of the track this child comes from, but he uses the word kid. He said, "My mom is the greatest because she is 27 years old and she had a kid of her own after taking three more of us in. Our moms of us three kids left us and didn't care about us. They gave us up and our stepmom showed us how a real mom, should treat us kids. And she was a real mom. Well, I tell you, that's some of the things that I hear every week, and every week that I am at Centerville, that I hear of moms, and I did have four juveniles in jail who were 16 years old, four boys that were there, and I spent quite a bit of time with them, going in and talking to them. The one young fellow is 16 years old. He has a 16-year-old girlfriend, and they have a daughter that's 5 months old. So if you add it up, you find out that she got pregnant when she was just turned 15. And so I talked to him about that, and I said, well, you knew when you was getting together, having sex, that she was the possibility she might get pregnant. I said, you definitely didn't plan this, did you? And he said, yeah, it was kind of planned. And I said, how are you going to provide for this child? How is she going to provide for this child? And I said, no, you're in jail, so you definitely can't provide. Well, her mother said that she would take care of it. She would take care of it. And so I sat down and I talked to him for a long time about what it really means to be a mother, what it really means to be a dad, and how we can best provide for our children. I'm on the pregnancy hotline group that meets together, and the pastors there are having a terrible time with children that are 14 years old that are pregnant. They're getting together and they're making showers for the child that's going to have a child. And thinking the fact, we shouldn't be having showers for, we should be talking about something else besides having showers for this child. It shows almost as though it is okay maybe to go ahead and do that. And so we're trying to do the best we can and in trying to do what's best for this when this kind of thing happens. But I'd just like to say today that I salute you mothers out there. You're doing a good job. And lots of things happen when you're mothers. My mother, I just want to tell you younger people out here that when you get cards from your mom that says happy birthday, or it says good job son or daughter or whatever, you know, cherish them with your life. Because one day they're going to stop. And when they stop, they don't ever come back. Not from their mom. Women were very important in Jesus' day. Very important. Let me just read you a few here that were very important. In Jesus' day, first of all, I looked up mother in the Webster's Dictionary just to see what it said about a mother. And it said here, the characteristic of a mother, protective care, a mother's love. That's what a Webster said. He's right. Nothing is like mother's love. Oh, when something's hurting, and nothing is better than to have touch of mom. From the mother's love. I looked up father in a dictionary to see what father said. What Webster said about that. And it said someone give him parental care. And that's all it said about him. Didn't say anything about love or anything like that. But it's just what it said. So they have an idea what mother's love is about. What a mother is. Godly women in the Bible. Influential in Jesus' day. Elizabeth, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. Very influential person. Of course, we have Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. Then we have Anna, who was a prophetess. She was married 7 years, and she was widowed for 84 years. And she served God day and night with fasting and prayer. She stood at the gate and told everybody about the salvation coming to Jerusalem. Mary, the mother of John Mark, when Peter was released, miraculously released from prison, it was at her house that they were meeting to have prayer. And that's where Peter went. Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus, Jesus commended her for being more interested in hearing what he had to say than to make a big dinner. Martha was one of what he was so interested, so concerned about what we're going to eat. And she wanted to know more about what Jesus had to say. And then there's one called the other Mary. It was this Mary and Mary Magdalene who sat across from Jesus' tomb when Jesus was put in the tomb. And then it says in Mark 16, women remained at the crucifixion until burial. It was this Mary and Mary Magdalene who were first at the tomb the first day of the week when it was reported that Jesus was missing. For he had rose early on the first day. And Mary Magdalene is one that Jesus took 7 demons out of, Mary Magdalene. And who did Jesus appear to first? Mary Magdalene. One that was not in our society, in their society, was not one that would have been welcomed around. But Jesus appeared to her first. The Moabite Ruth in the Bible, who's not even from the country where she went, but she wanted to be where her mother-in-law was, Naomi. She said, your God will be my God. Where you go, I'll go. And she's a Moabite woman. She wasn't even part of that. But she met Boaz and out there. And they later got married. And if you follow Boaz on down the lineage, that's where that Jesus came from. From the woman who had been obedient to Naomi. She says, I want to go with you. The other woman that was with Ruth decided to go back to her home place. And you never hear anything more about her at all. But Ruth in the Bible remained with Naomi. And it's out of there where that Jesus came. Where that Jesus came from. That scripture that Kevin read, that was the first church down there that was formed. And Lydia was one of these, and Kathy said it right. Purple is very expensive dye. Very expensive dye. So she must have been a rich lady, maybe. But the first 3 converts of that church was Lydia, the worker of purple, the slave girl, who people were taking and they were selling for everything, who knows what, and the jailer. That was the 3 people that was there first at the church. And women were the ones that were converted first in Europe. I'm just saying all this because of the fact that we need to really honor our mothers because, you know, our 4 children that we have, my wife and I, they grew up and were very good Christian kids, because they had a mom that cared and that prayed for them and with them. For the first 30 years, I wasn't there. I mean, for the first few years, I wasn't there, not until I was 30. 30 was when I got saved. But for the first years, I wasn't there. I was an alcoholic. I was in the bars. I was out all over. She took care of the children and raised them. And we have 4 beautiful children. And of course, now we have more beautiful children. We have two daughters, and they're top drawer. They're the best. But I had to put a petition in there. Because we have a daughter-in-law, and she's the best. She's top drawer. God has blessed us like that. And now we have seven beautiful grandchildren. Because of a mother that really cared. When I was 30 years old, I got saved. And I got saved from this bad thing of alcohol. And I've been trying to do better ever since. And so, I figured up the other night, and I, since my wife has been in a wheelchair the last year, or last 14 months, she can't do her housework, and she can't cook, and like that. And so I've been doing that. But the past 43 years, she done that. So I figured it up. There was 46,958 meals she made. Plus warm-ups and that special stuff she baked and things like that. And I've been doing it the last 14 months. I got down here, my wife would really like to be out there doing her own cleaning and her own house, and her own cooking. And she really would. But she's done that for me, for the children, and now I could do that for her for a while. We're expecting her to be walking before long. You know, we have lots of things today that get the attention of us. They get the attention of ladies. They get the attention of girls. I'm going to tell you, two young girls sitting down in the front, I don't know if there's any more here, any words or not. There's only one thing I see wrong with both of you girls. I was born about 50 years too soon. That's the only thing that. You're very good girls. And the rest of the girls that are here today. Sam, take note of what I said. Very good. You know, the Bible tells in Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the Bible gives us something there, that he has for women. We have taken this scripture, I think, and taken it clear out of proportion and made it say something that it doesn't say. But I paraphrase a little bit. This is what it says. The Bible gives a subordinate helper, but noble, virtuous role for women. Not to try to win an unbelieving I got this done here because the Bible doesn't say what I'm going to say here now. Peter says, not to try to win your unbelieving husband, or, now I'm saying this, your uninvolved husband merely by outward conduct, but by the incorruptible beauty involving the inner qualities that don't fade away. They're here forever. They're forever. That's what Peter is saying. He said, don't just use that to try to win your husband. But use that inner quality that's there for him. If he's an unbelieving husband and you happen to get married to him. Like that, to try to do that. To try to win him. Or maybe you're married and you have been married to a Christian person. and things aren't going good or aren't going right, let me just say this. You're a born-again believing young lady here or middle-aged or whatever. I don't know if there's people like that here. I don't know that. I'm just talking. And, you know, remember, it's the inner quality that's going to win your husband. That's what's going to do it. I have talked to a lot of people over my 28 years of being over at Centerville. A lot of them have tried to make things better by buying a new car because they both had something to do with that. After 3 months, that's old hat. They're back to fighting again. Or they tried another thing that's made me build a new house. They're both involved in that. After a year in that house, that's old hat. They're back to arguing again. So don't buy for something real nice or like that, thinking that that's going to make things better. Of course, you might just bring it back and tell you can stick this where it hurts or whatever, you know. It don't work that way. But it's the inner qualities of the woman. It's the inner qualities that Jesus is talking about. You know, I just read something in our Sturgis paper. I don't know, maybe you read the Ann Landers. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. And it just said in here that a man who was a virgin had met a young lady, and they were going together dating each other for some weeks or whatever, I don't know how long, maybe 2-3 months. When he told her that she was a virgin, that he was a virgin, and she didn't know how to really react with that. So a few weeks later, she came to him and she said, "Well, I have to tell you that I was never really sexually active, but I didn't behave either." And he said, "So I don't know what you're gonna think about that as far as I'm concerned." Well, he didn't say anything for a while, and finally one time she asked him, she said, "Well, what's gonna happen? What should we do?" And he says, "I don't know yet." So she just wrote this letter into this Ann and asked her, "What should I do?" And this is what she said. She said, "The first thing you need to do is you need to get rid of that old-fashioned man." This is just a young man. "You need to get rid of that old-fashioned man." There aren't people like that today no more. You're talking about a virgin. There aren't people like that today no more. And if he's looking for an old-fashioned woman, he might as well hang it up because there aren't any. "We're living in a world today that don't happen," she said. "Go get yourself a man that's going to do you good and get on with your life." I said, "Wow, I hope young kids don't read that." We have plenty of people today that are virgins. Plenty of people today that are like that. And I praise the moms for who they are. In fact, I got this pastoral thing here. Maybe everybody's pastor's got one. It just gives you an idea of what to preach on a certain Sunday if you want to. And I looked over here for Mother's Day, see what it says on Mother's Day. I didn't use it, but I looked over there to see what it was. But he did say one thing in this here, and that is, he said, "Many people speak of motherhood as a qualification for sainthood." Mothers are very, very important. Very important. Let me just read this to you here. It said, Johnny, age 4, appeared one day at the front of his father's study, and he had this bad-looking chick. I'm talking about chickens, not a chick, but bad chickens. He had this bad-looking chick that apparently had strayed from the neighborhood brood, and the father said sternly to the young man, "John, take that chicken right back to its mother." And John said, "He don't have a mother." "Well, then take him back to his dad." Say, "He don't have a dad. All he has is a heat lamp that made him hatch. And here he is. He don't have nothing like that." I'll tell you what. I see lots of mothers like that today, that the kids don't know who their mother is. They don't know who their dad is. I had a young man in jail here. He's out now. He's only 16 years old. And him and his brother are 11 months apart. And out of these 9 children, they're the only 2 that are blood brothers. and they want to stay together. They had five more brothers that were from five different dads. And he didn't know where his mom was, but he said, I heard last while that I think she's going to Riverside Church and she's gotten saved. I don't know, but I just what I heard in the last month. I said, what's your mother's last name? He says, I don't know. She's married five times. I said, I don't know what her last name is. Look at your mom sitting here. You know her last name. This is the world that we're living in, people. This is where we're at. Man, you got mothers that are excellent. You need to let them know that. I got two scriptures. I was going to read this to you out of my message. Really was going to be from Proverbs 31, because from Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, it has what this title here is, a virtuous woman presents a inspiring goal. And that's right, because in Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, it does that. Proverbs started out by saying the fear of God is the beginning beginning of knowledge. And it ends the same way in Proverbs 31, if you want it. And I got three scriptures that I want to put up, that I want to have them put up on the board, and I want you to see. And we're going to read them just here shortly, so I'm going to find Proverbs here. And Proverbs 31, and there's three scriptures up there that I had called in. Anyhow, I'll just read them to you. This is Proverbs 39. There they are. Proverbs 39, and it starts 31, and it starts at verse 29. And it says, verse 28, I want to include 28. That isn't up there, but I want to include 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband's also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears, Proverbs started out in 1:7, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of understanding, it ends the same way. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Same way. It ends just like it started. Just like it started. And it gives you all these things that this woman does from 10 to 31. I think there's more than one woman involved here. It just says a virtuous wife, because I don't think one woman could do all these things that's listed there. But nevertheless, she's a very virtuous person. And always looking out for her family. Up late at night, up early in the morning, looking out for her family. That's what she's doing. And so today I just want you to really honor your wives. Honor your mothers. So I'm gonna have you do something. And I wanna have the children. Children, raise your hands up here. I can see you. Raise your hands up. Even these good looking gals down here, raise your hands up. Okay, it says here, her children rise up and call her blessed. Just yell out there, blessed mom. Just say, blessed mom. Real loud, blessed mom. I have a blessed mom. There you go. How about that? That's good, isn't it? Hey, that's great. Our kids have a blessed mom. Now I'm going to do something else. This is for your husbands. Husbands, I want you to look your wife in the eye. And I want you to say to her, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Can you tell your wife that? Just go ahead and say that. Many daughters have done good, but you excel them all. Go ahead and say that to your wife today. That's good. That's good. Yeah, you excel. Oh, by the way, I said this to my wife last night, so that, you know, I already know. And I also told her that I was going to say I was born 50 years too soon, so she knows that too. And so I don't want to say something that I shouldn't say, so I run that past her and all that kind of thing. So anyways, that's kind of the message I want to bring you today. the fact that we need to really be together on this. Because we're in a world that is not together on this. At all. At all. Not together on this at all. So I want to leave you with this, with these three verses again. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she'll be praised. And then go ahead, give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That means praise your wife in the public. Tell her she's doing great, she's doing good. She's just an excellent woman, she's an excellent wife, an excellent mother. That's what Mother's Day is it. Okay? I had another one I was going to read to you here, but it may end up wrong. But I think I'm doing it. I'm doing it anyway. So it says here, what's the greatest power known to man? What's the greatest water power known to man? A woman's tears. And it says in here, in childhood, a woman wants love and protection. In the teen years, a woman wants excitement. In her 20s, a woman wants romance. In her 30s, a woman wants appreciation. In her 40s, a woman wants sympathy. In her 50s, a woman wants cash. That's where we're at. All right, there we go. Kevin?